Last time we started talking about the mitzvah of milah, so I'd like to continue our discussion. There are many different parts to the mitzvah of milah. The basic mitzvah is cutting off of the orla on the eiver, the male eiver. Right? The pasuk says in Parsha Shmini, "Bayom Hashmini yimol besar orlaso," the orla is a foreskin on the eiver. The cutting off that foreskin is the basic mitzvah of milah. That's what himol yimol in Parshas Lech Lecha means. It means to take off the orla. But besides the basic chituch of the ha'orla, there's another part of milah called priya. Underneath the foreskin, there is a membrane, a thin membrane that's on the gid, that's on the aver, and the male has to peel that back. That's priya, that's a halachal mosh misinai, that's not actually mefurish in the pasuk. But it's an ikar part of the mitzvah of milah. The Mishnah in Shabbos says that kol hamol velo pora ki ilu lo mol. The Mishnah in Shabbos and daf kuf lamed zayin. It's ma'akev in the mitzvah of milah. Milah and priya, two very important parts of the mitzvah. We mentioned last time there's a third aspect of the mitzvah of milah, and that is hatofas dam bris, taking blood from the mokum. Now, in most circumstances, it's not an independent mitzvah. That's part of what you're doing. The fact is, when you cut the arlo off, when you cut the priya off, you're going to take blood. Right, that's the reality. But hatavas dambris is relevant for situations where you're not going to do the regular mitzvah of milah, the regular priya. Right? Like if a baby is what's called nolad mohu, somehow if the arla is not there, right? If the arla is not there, the halacha is that you have to take dam from that makom anyway. So why is that necessary? So some say, well, maybe it's a suffik arla kvusha. We're afraid that the arla was somehow pressed down into the eva. Maybe it's there. So taking the blood somehow solves the problem. It doesn't take the arla off, but somehow it's necessary to do that if there is an arla. Mishnas Yaakov in a tshuva says that's not the reason. The reason is that there's a separate mitzvah called hatavas dam bris, that even if you're not going to take the arla off, you're not going to cut the or hapriya, but you have to take blood from the makom hamila in order to be out to the mitzvah mila. And he points to a Rashi in Shabbos and Avkuf Lamedalid, quotes a pasuk in Sefer Zechariah. Gam ad bedam briser shilachti asirach libor ein mayim bo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And he says, gam ad bedam briser, that Bnei Yisrael had to undergo the milah before Yitzias Mitzrayim. Bedam briser? What's dam briser? So he says, that's the idea, that part of the bris is to be made of dam bris, to take dam out of that makom. So even if you're not going to cut the arlo, even if you're not going to do priya, but hatavas dam bris is still necessary. And we started to talk about cases where let's say the bris wasn't done bekashas, it was done bepsul. So there might be an inyan to do hatavas dam bris later, because even if you can't be yotze, the regular mitzvah milah, you took the arlo off already. It was taken, so what are you supposed to do? But if this is a third element of the bris, if you have to do hatavas dam bris anyway, so even when you can't be mekayim the first two elements of the milah, you still can be mekayim the third. So it's an inyan to do hatavas dam bris even if you can't do the other aspects of the milah. There's a fourth part to the mitzvah of milah, and that's called metzitza. Metzitza means to suck out blood from the makom of the milah. This is quoted in the Mishnah in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, and the Gemara Kuf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis says that the purpose of metzitza is refuah, medical reasons, that somehow, you know, it's like a surgery. Milah is like a surgery, so there's a concern for infection. So metzitza, the real purpose of metzitza is for sakana, to prevent sakana to the child, and that's why we suck out the blood from that makom. So there's a whole discussion in the poskim if metzitza is dafka refuah related. It's only to prevent sakana. It's mashma like that from the Gemara, from the Rambam. It's mashma like that, but from other Rishonim, from the Ran and Shabbos, it seems like perhaps metzitza, even if the ultimate purpose, the original purpose, was a medicinal purpose. But maybe Chazal were koveya based on the minute that it's actually a part of the mitzvah of milah. Now it has become a part of the mitzvah of milah. It seems like originally it was only letzarech refuah, but once it was done, once it was nohug, it was developed as a custom, as part of the mitzvah of milah. Maybe taka it becomes a chelik of the mitzvah. What's the nafkamina? It's the nafkamina. We're gonna do it anyway. So what's the nafkamina? The question is, bismana zeh, we have antiseptics, we have other ways to prevent sakana for the baby, so is metzitza necessary? It's only refuah, so then it could be metzitza should not be necessary, because we have other ways to prevent infection. In fact, some might suggest that our ways are even better. But if it's a part of the mitzvah of milah, so obviously, if it, that's part of the minig Yisrael and that's become part of the mitzvah of milah, then one would have to do mitzitzit from bizman hazeh. The real nafkamina that they talk about is mitzitza befeh as opposed to mitzitza bekli. Even if you say it's the tzorach refuah, we're not going to do away with mitzitza. Because the suction is also important, and if that's the way that we've done things, so we're going to try to have the suction. But the question is, do you need dafka to suction befeh? That's what they did previously. Or maybe you can use a kli, you can use a tube to do the suction. Maybe that should be sufficient. The Binyan Tzion has a whole tshuva where he talks about mitzitza through a sfog, using a gauze. Maybe somehow you can draw it out through the sfog. So that's a discussion in the poskim. Maybe even if mitzitza bakli is good enough, but maybe the sfog, maybe the gauze is not strong enough. It doesn't create enough of a suction. But if you can find the kli that will create enough of a suction, maybe that is sufficient for mitzitza. This is a major discussion. This has been a controversial issue for years, for well over 100 years. It's not something that, you know, has come up in the last 20 years, even though we're familiar with some of the cases that have come up in the last 20 years. There's a famous tshuva of the Chasam Sofer, where the Chasam Sofer said that mitzitza really is only because of sakana, so it's not necessary to do dafka mitzitza befeh, one can do mitzitza bekli. This tshuva of the Chasam Sofer was never published in Tshuvas Chasam Sofer. It's a tshuva that is floating around. There is somewhat of a question whether it came from the Chasam Sofer or what context he wrote this in. I'm not getting involved in all the details, but there is such a tshuva out there. Recently, because with the advent of HIV and herpes and other ailments that could affect the moil or could affect the baby, you know, it's not a one-way street that we're afraid that the moil is going to infect the baby. If the baby has HIV, this was a problem, a much bigger problem about 20, 25 years ago. Now, Baruch Hashem, it's gotten better. But when the HIV epidemic broke out, the concern was not so much that the moil would give it to the baby, but rather the baby would give it to the moil. We didn't necessarily know, you know, what the parents had done and, you know, where they're from and what they... It was a real sakana, so... You know, in such a circumstance, no question that if it's a vaday sakana or a suffix sakana for either the moil or the baby, we're not going to do mitzitza befeh. That's ridiculous, right? It's a sakana, mamish. Even if it's a suffix sakana, we're not going to do mitzitza befeh. But if it's not a suffix sakana, if we can determine that it's not a suffix sakana, so what's the proper procedure? So some felt that mitzad public policy, it's better just to do away with it, do mitzitza bekli, and then there won't be any problem. And there were others who said no. That the Ran and other Mefarshim and other Poskim hold that Mitzitza Befeh is part of the Maisa Mila now, it's become part of the Maisa Mila. Won't you do Mitzitza Befeh? Unless, of course, you know that there's a problem. If the Moyel knows that he has sores in his mouth, so of course he shouldn't do Mitzitza Befeh. There's no mitzvah to do Mila and to infect the baby with something terrible. So there's been a lot of back and forth about this. Most Hasidish and Moyelim like to do Mitzitza Befeh because they're a time in Malpi Kabbalah. That mitzitza befeh is important, and they followed a lot of you know, the Hasidim are very into Kabbalah, the Sfaradim are into Kabbalah, so there are a group of moilim that are very adamant that we want you to do mitzitza befeh, unless of course there's a sakana involved, and some of the Litvisha moilim are more inclined to do mitzitza bekli because there's more of a concern and they're less bent on Kabbalah, they're less connected to Kabbalah, so many of the Litvisha Moyelim are fine with doing mitzitza bekli. Reshechta quotes in Nefesh HaRav that once the Rav, a Moyel asked the Rav if he could do mitzitza befeh, so the Rav apparently responded to the Moyel. He says, my father were here, he was much stronger than I am. He wouldn't let you do mitzitza befeh. But I'm more tolerant than my father, and it's okay. If you want to do mitzitza befeh, that's okay. It sounds like the Rav really felt that he shouldn't do Matzitza Befeh, better to do Matzitza Bekli. It's unclear why he held that way. Maybe he held that way beside public policy. Better to do Matzitza Bekli. But he wasn't against someone who wanted to do Matzitza Befeh. If that's what the person felt that he wanted to do, unless it was a sakana for the baby, he was fine with him doing Matzitza Befeh. So every group, every community has to do what the poskim in that community feel is important to them. Okay, that's as far as mitzitza, as far as the different parts of the mitzvah. What's the zman for milah? So we know that we generally do a bris milah on the eighth day, by Yom HaShmini. The eighth day, not before the eighth day, and not balayla. Bayom, velo balayla. Bayom HaShmini, yimol, velo balayla. There are times that we'll do a milah shelo bezmana. We won't do it by Yom HaShmini. Not before. Try not to do it before. In the hospital, it's going to be done before the 8th day because they're going to release the baby before the 8th day. But we'll talk about that case in just a moment. But certain times, halachically, we try to do the bris after the 8th day. What are those situations? There are two basic situations. One is if the baby is a chola. If the baby is not well, so then we're going to delay the bris. Aye, Bayom HaShmini? No, Bayom HaShmini is only if there's no sakana. If there's a sakana to the baby, then we're not going to do that. And of course, the most classical, right, the most classical situation where the baby is a chola is, let's say if the baby's yellow, the baby's jaundiced, right, which basically means that we're concerned that the liver function of the baby is not up to par, it's not as good as we would like it to be, so it's not processing the red blood cells appropriately, so the baby is turning yellow. So we wait until the bilirubin comes down, and then we do the bris. But that's not considered a real choli. That's really just the baby is not well enough to do the bris. It's not a choli kol gufo. So therefore, once the jaundice goes away, then we'll do the bris immediately. Right? Well, we could do the bris immediately. If the baby is chola kol gufo, somehow the baby is weak, he's premature, there's something wrong with the baby, so then we're going to wait until the baby is healthy, and then we have to wait me'es la'es for a week. We have to wait a week me'es la'es from 7 full days from the time that the baby is nisrape. That's the din. It's a question whether that's halacha or that's mitzad to be careful, mishum sakana, to make sure the baby is out of the woods is really better. But that's the rule if the baby is chola kol gufo. If he just has jaundice, so then once it goes away, then you're allowed to do the bris milah the very next day. So that's the first example. If the baby is a chola, then we're not going to do the bris bisman. We'll do it shelo bismano after the 8th day. The other common situation is, let's say the baby is born bein hashmoshes. Let's say he's born bein hashmoshes after shkia Tuesday night. Right? So you can't do the bris the next Tuesday. Aye, but the next Tuesday is the 8th day. No, it's not. It's a suffix. We don't know if the next Tuesday is the 8th day. If it's bein hashmoshes, so bein hashmoshes is suffix yom suffix laila. It could be the baby was really born Wednesday. So if you do the bris on Tuesday, you'll be doing it on day 7, not on day 8. So we wait until the next Wednesday to make sure that it's on day 8. It's always important if one's wife is in labor, look at the clock. You got to know what time shkia is, that time of year. And look at your watch. You know, when the baby comes out, so you know, the doctor generally will tell you, or you'll hear it from the baby. Babies always make it known when they come onto the scene. So Baruch Hashem. So if it's bein hashmoshes, so then you'll have to delay. That's the first question that the moel asks. So when was the baby born? He's not trying to be nosy. You know, he really has to know. And if the baby was born bein hashmoshes, then they'll have to delay the bris to the next day. So what's the din taka if the baby had the bris milah before Yom HaShmini or he had the bris milah balayla? So it's a big machlokas in the Rishonim. If you need hatavas dan bris, the Ramon Yeridaya in Simin Reish Samach Beis Sif Aleph actually splits between the two. He says that if the baby was mol balayla, then you do need hatavas dan bris. But if he's nimol toch shmona, then you don't need hatavas dan bris. That's very important for us, right? Because let's say there's a circumcision in the hospital, right? There are non-observant parents, and there's a circumcision. We talked about if a woman could do it, if a non-Jew does it, right? So let's say the woman does it, right? If a non-Jew does it, so the Ramah paskens that you should have a tavas dam bris. But if a woman does it, the Ramah says you don't need a tavas dam bris. But the problem is, if it's toch shmona, you haven't solved any issue, right? You still need hatavas dan bris because you didn't do the bris properly. It has to be done b'shmona. So no, according to the Ramah, you wouldn't need hatavas dan bris because as long as it's nimel bayom, it should be okay. So that's the one thing to keep in mind, that if the lady resident is going to do the bris, she should do it bayom at least, not do it balayla. If the baby is born balayla, she shouldn't do the circumcision balayla. Wait till yom and do the circumcision then. What's the difference whether nimo balayla, nimo bayom? So the Shabbosai says it's a very simple chiluk. Right? Nimo balayla, no baby is nimo balayla. Layla is not a zman for mila b'chlam. Neither shalom b'zmano nor b'zmano. But toch shmona could be a zman for mila for another baby. It's just not a zman for mila for this baby because this baby was born less than 8 days ago. So it's not like this day is not a zman that's roi for mila. It is roi for mila. But nighttime is never a zman that's roi for mila. So that's why if you're traversing as a bris mila balayla, then they need a tavas dan bris, because that was a bris bipsul. But a bris that's done toch shmona, we don't view that as a bris bipsul, because it's just mechusa zman. It's mechusas man, but the maisa mila at that time was really a good maisa mila. It's just that it's mechusas man. So that's okay. B'di'eved, it's kosher if it was done toch hazman. Reb Chaim in his stencils has a different lambda shabir. I'm not gonna do everything over here, but he has a very beautiful idea if you want to look at the Reb Chaim in his stencils. L'maisa, if the baby gets a circumcision from a female doctor, toch shmona, bayon, so that's okay. That's enough b'di'eved. That's enough b'di'eved. He comes a bal tshuva later and he wants to know, does he need a tamas dambris? So in such a case, we would tell him that he doesn't need to have tamas dambris. Another halacha in Mila, we know, is that Mila is docha Shabbos. Right? Bayom ha-shmini yimol, bayom ha-filu b'Shabbos. Right? Mila is docha Shabbos. If the baby is born ben ha-shmoshes on Friday night, so then obviously it's not going to be docha Shabbos. That's savig Mila shlo b'zmana. Only Mila b'zmana is docha Shabbos. Not savig Mila shlo b'zmana. If he's born ben ha-shmoshes, then you'll have to wait for Sunday. So wait for Sunday. You can't do the bris on Shabbos. And let's say Sunday's Yom Tov, first day of Yom Tov, then you have to wait for Monday. But Monday is Yom Tov Sheni. Okay, so there it gets complicated. Safek Mila Shlo Bezmana, Vada Mila Shlo Bezmana. It's a discussion in the Poskim, but you'll have to delay it. But there are brisim that are delayed for days because the baby was born ben Hashmoshes, next day was Shabbos, next day was Yom Tov Rishon. Not so poshut. It's really not so poshut. One of the halachas that the Shulchan Aruch has is that yes, Mila is docha Shabbos, but only if it's Mila bismana bevandei, and only if it's a natural birth. If the baby was born by cesarean section, so then it's not docha Shabbos. It's actually a machlokas in the Gemara, machlokas Rishonim. But if the baby was born, and it's called a yotzei dofen, right? It came out through the dofen, not through the natural way. So we paskin that that's not docha Shabbos. It's very, very common. That's the second question that the Moel asks. He says, when was the baby born? How was the baby born? You know, he has to know. Because, I mean, he doesn't always have to know. But if it's a Shabbos baby, if it's a Shabbos bris, potential for a Shabbos bris, so then he's going to ask to make sure that the baby was born naturally, because if it's born via cesarean section, so we paskin that that's not docha Shabbos. That's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. It's a very interesting machlokas, the Taz and the Shach. What's the din, whether you can do a Mila Shelo Bezmana on Thursday and Friday? Huh? Mila Shelo Bezmana on Shabbos, I get. Okay, Bayom HaShmini Yimol, Bayom HaFilu B'Shabbos, but only Bayom HaShmini. What's with Thursday and Friday? So, the din is that we know from the story of Shechem, from Shimon Levi and Shechem, that on the third day of Mila, that's the hardest day. That's the greatest sickness. That's the greatest tsar that the baby, that the person who's a nimo is going to feel. And the Gemara in Shabbos says that you're not allowed to set sail 3 days before Shabbos for different reasons. The Gemara doesn't give the reason. You're not allowed to set sail 3 days before Shabbos. And some of the Rishonim say it's because you're going to feel a tsar on Shabbos. Right? Because you're going to have seasickness. Right? We're not talking about, you know, the cruise ships that we have as Mana Zed. Ocean liners that we have. Many postim say you're allowed to set sail on the ocean liner because as long as you're not looking at the water, you're not going to be able to tell that you're on the water. Right? I mean, even if you are looking at the water, you're not going to feel seasick from the cruise ship. Right? So this issue does not apply on the cruise ship. But we're talking about smaller boats and smaller ships. So some of the Rishonim say that you're not allowed to set sail 3 days before Shabbos because it's going to feel the worst on the third day, and that's going to be Shabbos. So you're going to be seasick on Shabbos, and that's going to be a problem. So some suggest that maybe you're not allowed to give a bris 3 days before Shabbos. That means Thursday, on Thursday or Friday, because the third day is going to be Shabbos. Obviously, we're not talking about Mila Bezmana. Mila Bezmana is a mitzvah. So you have to do that mitzvah. You're going to do the mitzvah. No one says you're not going to do a mitzvah of Mila on Thursday. If it's a Mila Shelo Bezmana, it's already Nidcha, so someone to suggest maybe you shouldn't do a Mila Shelo Bezmana on Thursday or Friday because you're going to be Gorim Atsar for the Tinok on Shabbos because the third day is the worst part. That's what the Taz writes. The Taz in Yoredeya Mamish on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. He says, if it's a Mila Bezmana, so that's a Mitzvah D'Oraisa. It's a Mitzvah D'Oraisa. We're not going to be Docha this Chashash D'Rabbanan. Now basically, according to these Rishonim, we're saying that it's going to be a diminution of Onik Shabbos, right? A diminishing of a person's Onik Shabbos, a person's enjoyment of Shabbos, because he's going to be Bitzar. Okay, that's a nice idea, but it's a drabbanan. It's a chashash, right? So we're not going to be docha this mitzvah deraisa bismano because of that chashash. But once it's shalom bismano, maybe we should say it's shalom bismano anyway. So maybe we should push it off until after Shabbos. So that's mamish what the Taz holds. And the Shach says no, it's a devar mitzvah, and for a devar mitzvah, we're not going to push it off, even if it's shalom bismano, we're not going to push it off. The minig in the Breuer's community is to follow the Taz, if I'm not mistaken. They will not do a Mila Shalom Bizmana on Thursday or Friday. So there are a great many brisim in Breuer's that happen on Sunday. Right? It's not because they like Sunday, so they just push off the bris to Sunday. It's because if you think about it, if a baby is born ben Ashmashes of Friday going into Shabbos, or ben Ashmashes of Shabbos going into Sunday, or born on Sunday, or born in such a way and then something else happened that you had to delay the bris, and the bris came out on Thursday or Friday, so you can't do that on Shabbos, you're going to do it on Sunday. So it's going to turn out that if the baby is born, whatever, all the circumstances that we mentioned, right? A suffix, I don't think they would do this for a vadai, let's think for a moment, a vadai mila shalom bismana. But a vadai mila shalom bismana. Yeah, if it's a Mila Shlo Bizmana on Yom Chamishi and Yom Shishi, so then they'll delay it to Sunday. And a baby that's born Misafik on Shabbos, they'll also delay it to Sunday. And born on Sunday, they'll also delay it to Sunday. For in all these cases, they'll have a bris on Sunday. So I've been told there are many bris and broyers that are on Sunday because in many circumstances, the bris has to be delayed. And there are 2 days that you can't do the bris if the bris is going to be delayed. I think most posts can follow the Shach. They assume that if it's for a Dvar Mitzvah, so then we would do the bris even on Thursday or on Friday, even though it's a Mila Shlo Bizman. And finally, what are the brachos that we have for a bris Mila? So we know that there are two brachos made, at least two brachos. The Moel says the bracha al hamila, al hamila, and the father says lehachnisa b'viso shel Avraham Avinu. So Tosfos and Psachim asks, it's very strange, why should you have two brachas on one mitzvah? Hecha matzino two brachas on mitzvah on one mitzvah. He quotes the Rabbeinu Tam who says, La'achnisa b'viso shel Avraham Avinu is not a brachas mitzvah, it's a brachas ha-shevach. A brachas ha-shevach. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the opportunity of the bris. If it's not a brachas mitzvah, then there's no problem. We can have two brachas on that mitzvah because it's not two brachas mitzvah on that one mitzvah. What's enough kamina whether La'achniso is a birchas ha-shevach or a birchas ha-mitzvah? The nafkamina is, does it have to be made before the mitzvah or after the mitzvah? So the Rosh is machriya. The Rosh says that you should say la'achniso in the middle. Say la'achniso after the mila, after the chaticha of the orla, before the priya. So that if it's a birchas ha-mitzvah, it's over la'asiyasu of the priya. It's still over la'asiyasu of a chelik of the mitzvah of mila. But it's still a birchas hashevach after the mila also. Right? If it's a birchas hashevach, so then you don't want to be mapsik between the mila and the bracha, so you'll make it after the mila. So that's what the Rosh says, and that's the minig. It's a little bit more complicated than that because most of the moilim now tend to do milu priya bevasachas, meaning they'll separate the membrane from the aver, the Or HaPriya, they'll separate that before the Mila, then they'll pull the Or HaOrla and the Or HaPriya over the Aver. They'll pull it over the Aver and cut it beyond the Aver. So they're doing Milo Priya B'Vasachas. La'achniso then is going to be said after the Priya. So it's not being said between the Mila and the Priya. But others point out that the Or HaPriya is pulled over the Aver, but the Moilim then peel back the Or HaPriya as well. There's a little bit of Priya that remains after the Mila, after that Mila Priya Vasachas. So that's why the father says the bracha between the Mila and the Priya, because there really is a little bit of Priya later. So we're still going to be Yotzei the Rosh that was saying Lachnisa Beviso between the Mila and the Priya. But the father should say the bracha immediately. That's what the Moilim do. They tell the father, give the father some nusuch to say, and they say, immediately after my bracha, you say your bracha. So the father's thinking, why immediately? I have to wait until the mila is done. No, the mila instantaneously is done. Once he finishes that bracha, he cuts, right? He has his surgical knife, and he cuts immediately, and it's done. So the father should immediately make that bracha. There might be a third bracha to make at a bris mila. Does anyone know what the third bracha is? Shachyan. Do we make a shachyanu at a bris mila, do we not? Well, it depends where you are. The Mechaber paskins that we do make a shachyanu at the bris. But the Ramah says that the minig is not to make a shachiyanu. It's not so simple. The Ramah is a little bit more complicated than that. But the Ramah does mention a minig not to make a shachiyanu in most circumstances. And the Shach says the minig is taka not to make a shachiyanu b'chla. Okay, let's keep it simple. The Chaber says that you do make a shachiyanu, and the Shach says the minig is not to make a shachiyanu. Why shouldn't you make a shachiyanu? So the Mefarshim explain, is it Sara de Yanuka? There's pain for the baby. It certainly sounds like there's pain for the baby. So first of all, you should know the pain for the baby is not as great as you think. The baby is crying not so much out of pain. I'm sure there's a little bit of pain there, but the scientists say that the baby doesn't really have that much pain. The baby is in discomfort because they're moving around there. They're moving around over there, and they're pushing and pulling and this and that, but it's not as painful as you think. That's what I've been told. But I'm sure even if it's not as painful as you think, there's still a little bit of pain there. So come the Mefarshim and say, since there's a tsar for the baby, make a shechiyonu, shechiyonu v'kiyimonu v'idyonu lazman hazeh, for someone else who's paying, that's not appropriate. It's almost like a person is expressing a sense of simcha on someone else's tsar, so that would not be appropriate. So that's the minig, not to make a shechiyonu on the bris milah. The Gra comments there. He says, I don't really understand such a svara, right? If a person, chalila, a person loses a parent and he gets a yerusha from the parent, so he makes a dayan emes and he makes a shechiyanu at the same time, right? So there's tzar, it's terrible tzar, and there's also simcha. So a person has to make different brachas for different things that occur to him. So says the Gaon, over here there's a tzar for the baby, but there's also a simcha for the parent the first time he's doing this mitzvah. So, or it's something special, mitzvah that comes mizman lizman, so he should have to make a shachiyanu. So those who follow the minig of Talmidei Agra, they will make a shachiyanu at the bris. There are some places where they do that. The minig Eretz Yisrael is to make a shachiyanu for a bris. Even Ashkenazim, people who follow the Mechaber Sfaradim will always make a shachiyanu. They follow the Mechaber. But people in Eretz Yisrael, even Ashkenazim, will follow the minhagim of the Gra. That's the minig in Eretz Yisrael. That took hold. So you'll find if you go to a bris in Eretz Yisrael, they will make a shachiyanu. Don't be surprised. That's the minig of the Gra. So that's what they do in Eretz Yisrael. I was once in Eretz Yisrael for a bris of a relative, and they made a shachiyanu, and I was like astounded. And someone came up to me and said, "That's the minig of the Gra. That's our minig." So then I looked into it, and then taka, that's exactly what they said. So there are certain mekomos in America as well. I think the minig in the Chaim Berlin Yeshiva is to make a shechiyanu at the bris as well. They follow the minhagim of the Gra. So someone was making a bris in my shul in Muncie, and we're not talmidim of Chaim Berlin in that shul. And the person made a shechiyanu, and I was like, what's going on over here? So I went over to the Rav in the shul. I just was curious. So he said he's a talmid of Chaim Berlin, so that's why he made a shechiyanu. That's interesting. I never knew. But that's what it is. People who follow minhagim of the Gra, they make a shechiyanu at the bris. But all other Litvish people, all other Ashkenazim, will not make a shechiyanu at the bris to follow the minig of the Ramah and the minig of the Shach.